Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, September the 14th, and welcome to our commentary. It's going to be raining today. I'm pretty sure of that here in North Texas. I don't recall that much rain here around here in September before. Now, when we have, of course, a hurricane down in the Gulf of Mexico, we do get rain. But the hurricane is on the other side of the world, so in the Atlantic, that is, over by the East Coast. So I don't know where the rain is coming from, but we've had quite a bit here lately in the Dallas area. Well, today we're going to talk about this developing story, and it is really a developing story. I think we'll hear a lot more about it next week, and that is these leaks or this effort on the part of a couple of FBI agents to be targeting or to be leaking sensitive information against President Trump. I think this is a huge story, and it's just going to get a lot better. We'll talk a little bit about the good economic news. I mean, it just seems to be one after the other, good economic news. But let me begin with a couple of stories that have developed here in the last few hours. The first one is the Bob Woodward book. I have not read the book. I don't really plan to. Bob Woodward books, the ones that I've read before, read a couple of them before, the one about Bush going to war, and obviously All the President's Men, that goes back a little bit of time. But anyway, his books, at least when he studies administrations and so on, they're full of a lot of this, he said, she said, or he told me that he said this, and you have very few direct quotes. And I just don't like books like that. I prefer books where somebody tells you head on what he says or didn't say. But I did hear an interview today with Bob Woodward on the Hugh Hewitt show. You can listen to this interview, by the way, on the internet. It's free. The podcast is there. You can just check him out. Hugh Hewitt, H-E-W-I-T-T. If you have a chance to listen to it on the weekend, I would really recommend that you do. Because when you actually hear Bob Woodward be interviewed by Hugh Hewitt, who actually did read the book. Hewitt asked him some very specific questions in the book because he had read it. I don't think a lot of the journalists who are loving or hating this book have actually read it, but Hewitt, in fact, read it. And one of the interesting things that came out of this interview with Bob Woodward and Hugh Hewitt is what I think is really a fascinating topic, and that is what the Prime Minister of the UK, Mr. David Cameron, he was, the last Prime Minister of the UK, David Cameron, was talking to Bob Woodward, and this is a direct quote, this is in the book, and he was talking to Bob Woodward about President Obama. And let me paraphrase what he said. He said that he didn't think Obama was tough enough to deal with people like Putin and Assad, that he felt he was very intelligent, very nice person, but he just wasn't tough enough. On the other hand, he said, Trump is. And I find this fascinating. This, you never really heard this information in the promotion of the book. And I think I know why, because this is not, this makes Trump look good. And the whole promotion of this book has been that there's chaos in the White House. And I think, the world is coming to an end inside the White House and that kind of thing. But in fact, when you listen to the Woodward interview with Hugh Hewitt, it isn't really as bad as it's been promoted. It's not as bad for President Trump as the promotion of the book. And I think that my message to anybody is before you go out and spend $30 on this book, I think you ought to listen to that interview with Hugh Hewitt, because I think he may very well just that interview may very well stop you from going out and spending $30 to buy this book. You know, it reminds me a little bit of the other book that came out 6 or 7 months ago, was it? I know that it was at the beginning of this year. There was another book that, Fire and Fury or something like that, very similar type of book, you know, the chaos in the White House and all of that. And when people read that book, they were really disappointed because they were expecting all kinds of, you know, magic bullets, and they didn't find any. And on this one, there aren't any magic bullets either. But there is some interesting information about what President Obama, or the impression that President Obama had around the world. So check out the interview with Bob, with Hugh Hewitt. I think you're, if you have not spent $30, I think that interview is probably going to stop you from spending $30. Now, look, I wish Bob Woodward the very best with the book. I really nothing against the man. I think he sold a bunch of copies, so he's going to make a lot of money. The publisher is going to make a lot of money, and that's fine with me. Let it be. But my guess is that if you really took an honest poll of the people who bought that book, who spent the $30 and read the book, I think most of them are going to be pretty disappointed, because this book is not going to give them the kind of magic bullet against Trump that I think a lot of them were looking for. So before you invest the money, listen to that interview. And I think, you know, after you hear that interview, you're going to agree with me that there's nothing in this book, just a lot of hype and a lot of promotion that we've heard so far. Well, there is another story that broke here in the last hour or so, and that's about Judge Kavanaugh, where apparently it works like this. Somebody gave Senator Dianne Feinstein a letter about something that apparently happened many years ago regarding Judge Kavanaugh. Now they have done some inquiry. Apparently it was something that Judge Kavanaugh did when he was in high school, something that he and a buddy, I guess, scared off a girl. They locked her up in a room or something. They never touched her. They never harmed her. The girl was never in harm. It was just a silly prank that sometimes kids do. And this is now being used as a last-minute effort to derail the nomination. I don't think that it will. I think the vote will go through next week or the week after, and Judge Kavanaugh will be Justice Kavanaugh in October. But to me, it really shows you just how desperate, absolutely desperate, the Democrats are. And I know what's happening. What's happening is they're under tremendous pressure from the left. I mean, the left-wing groups are literally on the phone every day saying, you're not doing enough to stop this. You're not doing enough to stop this. And for the Democrats, these left-wing groups are frankly the life and blood of the party. That's where the energy is. That's where the money is. And they're threatening not to work in the campaigns. They're threatening these people. I mean, poor Senator Schumer, he must be under the gun every single day by people out to get him over this nomination. So the nomination will happen, or the confirmation will happen. Mr. Kavanaugh will be Justice Kavanaugh in October. But I just think the Democrats need to stand back a little bit and think a little bit about what they are doing, because this is not helping the country. I mean, let's just forget about Kavanaugh for a second. This is not helping the country, and this is not giving the Senate, frankly, a very good name. When you have Senator Booker of New Jersey and Senator Harris of California, and now these allegations, you know, at some point you have to at least accept the fact that the guy who wins the election nominates the people to the Supreme Court. I mean, look, the Republicans accepted this, and they were willing to vote for the nominees of Mr. Obama and Mr. Clinton. I think the Democrats need to just put the country above, and they're just going to have to tell some of these crazy liberal groups, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to hurt the reputation of the Senate by going after this man based on something that happened 35 years ago when he was a high schooler and he was 17 or something like that. As I said, nobody got killed. Nobody got raped. There's no evidence of anything other than just a silly prank. And we got to cut this out. We have got to cut this out in the country and bring back some sanity and some decency, really, to some of these Supreme Court confirmations. We're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. Right after we hear from my good friend, Carlos Guedes.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpy. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos right under the show description. You can click on that, and it'll take you to his schedule. We remember a couple of things on this day, 1968. This was the day that Denny McLean won his 30th game. He's the last pitcher to have won 30 games. A couple of guys have reached 27 since, but nobody has reached 30 since Denny McClain did it on this day in 1968. And we remember Cachao, the great Cuban musician who was born in this day in 1918. He went on to live a great life and made it to the United States, and he died in 2008 in Miami. But he was a great contributor to the Cuban sound, mambo, certainly danzón, and a lot of the other great Cuban sounds of that time. Well, we have a couple of these. Remember, I'm sure you're all familiar with the two FBI agents who were texting each other information. They were apparently a couple, these two people, Peter and the lady, were apparently in love, and they were texting each other. That was their love affair, if you will. They were texting each other, and they also began texting each other a lot of stuff about President Trump and candidate Trump during the campaign. And that, you know, this is the couple that was talking about an insurance policy and this kind of thing. And one of them came before Congress and denied everything, saying that it was all bad use of language, but there was never any partisan political intent behind it. Well, now we have some new texts, and I'm not exactly sure how we got these, but we got some new texts, messages going back and forth that certainly suggests to any reasonable person that these two people and the FBI were coordinating leaking information to the media, obviously not good information about President Trump. And I think this is going to get really big next week, obviously because of the hurricane. A lot of the attention has been on that. But I think this is going to get very big next week, because you cannot have FBI agents behaving in this fashion. Look, the FBI is the Federal Bureau of Investigation, not the Federal Bureau of Partisan Leaks. I have a post over at the American Thinker about this today. And, you know, look, this is despicable. And my guess is that most of the good agents and 99% of the people at the FBI are really good people. They've got to look at stuff like this and say, get these guys out of here. Because this is bad. I mean, when you're having, when you've got agents working on an investigation, obviously these people are going to have political positions. Obviously they're going to vote for this person or that person. Obviously they're going to have ideology, and that's fine. Nobody denies them that. But they shouldn't bring it into their work. And when they're texting each other, all this kind of stuff, you really have to wonder about their common sense. You know, why would you text information like that in the first place? Using, in essence, your time at work to be doing stuff like this. So I think this is going to be a story that we're going to be hearing a great deal about next week and the week after. And this could be the beginning of a scandal that I think will be quite significant, because I just don't know how you can allow people in the FBI or in any position of law enforcement to get away with something like this. Well, it's been a tremendous month of September when it comes to economic news. I mean, if you just run down the list of all of the good things happening in the country, small business, there was a survey of small business people where they said that this was the best economic environment in 40 years. You have, of course, the unemployment rate, not just across the board, but in ethnic communities, the black community, the Hispanic community, dropping at these rates are very historically low. You have information on wages doing very well. Now you have a report from Consumer Confidence saying that consumer confidence is way up there. So when you put all of this together, that's quite a record for the Trump administration. Even if you don't want to give President Trump 100% of the credit, you got to give him more than 50%. I mean, I actually think he deserves a lot of the credit, because I think the tax cut and the whole attitude to deregulate and all of that has had a lot to do with these numbers that we're seeing. But nevertheless, I mean, you got to give President Trump some credit. Now, of course, the Democrats, their position is, well, yeah, the economy is great because it began under President Obama. That's just a bunch of nonsense. I mean, that is just a bunch of nonsense. You would not have had these numbers if Hillary Clinton had been elected president, because decisions that were made by President Trump had a lot to do with his numbers. What really amazes me more than anything else about these numbers is how little attention these numbers and these surveys and these this information, frankly, is getting in the media. It just amazes me that when you have numbers like this, we're not talking about it more. Now, President Trump is going to have to do it, and I hope he does. But, man, great numbers, to say the least. Well, have a great day. This is Silvio Cantu in Dallas, and we'll talk to you next.